This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors. Yeah, it's time to hop on the crazy train. Welcome to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors, presented by Coleman Insect Repellents. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Aboard! You're on the crazy train with the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is a beautiful morning here in southeastern Wisconsin. You are listening to the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors with your hosts, Danny Bush and me, Tommy the True Neubauer. And, of course, on the boards, back from his long-deserved vacation.
Back!
Yeah, the wild, the crazy Jazz Kulski is back again.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, settle down. It's too early in the morning for that.
It's good to be back. It was weird waking up at 6 o'clock in the 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And not being in the studio, I was kind of lost.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But it's
that's
good to
all
be
right.
Back.
Well, we're here every Saturday morning for you folks from 6 to 8 a.m. We are live. We are unrehearsed, and you can always get in touch with us at 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250 with your questions or comments. We'll open up the phone lines for you folks and let you call in with whatever you want.
Yep.
This is an interactive show, and you can catch us on two stations. That's 1250 on the AM dial or 105.7 FM on the FM dial.
Yes, and they can also, I will be opening up the Twitter page, so if they want to get at us on Twitter.
Oh, yeah?
Just get at us at 105.7 FM The Fan.
Is that right? We're going to have a Twitter thing?
We are going to open up. I'm going to start utilizing Twitter now.
There you go. You tweet away here.
You never know. We got to attract the young. We got to attract the young stars.
Yeah, you know, there's people out there fishing or hunting or whatever, and they want to give a quick tweet. Bugs Bunny. No. Who was the guy who went after Bugs Bunny? Elmer Fudd.
Yep, Elmer Fudd.
He would say.
Oh, it's wabbit season.
Anyway, yeah, they might not want to talk on the phone, but they can always give a quick tweet. Is that now tweeting? Did they type that out?
No, you can do it from your phone. All you do is just download an app.
Do you speak into it or do you type it?
No, you type it. It's like it's like a text.
Okay.
It's like a post. It's like Facebook, but it's Twitter.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
Are we gonna introduce Dan, the star? He's been sitting here for like 5 minutes and we haven't even acknowledged him.
Yeah, I did.
Danny, wake up.
Yeah, I said his name and my name. I said all our names. Did you forget already?
No.
I was taking an alien movement.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you drive in here and you drink your coffee and then you get about halfway here and you're like, ruh-roh. So as soon as you come in the door, you hardly say hi to your friends.
Hey, that's why I get here early and do that.
That you can have a smoke or two, get ready for the show.
That's
I got a news flash for the serious news for the greater Milwaukee metropolitan area listening audience. There is some type of a police standoff going on Highway 100.
I went by it.
Just north of Cleveland, they've got the northbound lanes shut off, and you can't even.
It's by International Auto.
There's a big semi truck, a UPS it looked like truck pulled over, and then the police are kind of off vehicles all around. So I don't know if there's a standoff going on. Here's my guess, guys. Perhaps it's a stolen truck. And there's some kind of a standoff with a bad guy. I don't know. It did look like some dude was out there taking pictures or had a camera, so I don't know. But it didn't look like a news crew. But the same thing happened when I was leaving from Pewaukee to go to work about a week and a half ago by Highway 16. They had a lane or two shut off right where it branches off from 94 West and branches to 16. They had a lane or two shut off, bunch of police vehicles, and a semi pulled over. And later I heard on the news that that had been a stolen semi.
Oh, okay.
So it looks like the latest thing is not only do we have people in the inner city smashing windows, grabbing stuff, stealing cars, now it looks like they're stealing trucks. Next thing you know, they're going to steal a plane.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, to let people know, that's the northbound lane on Highway 100, and it's just north of
National,
Cleveland. Yeah, just north of that. Yeah, it's by it's right in front of International Auto. Now, you came down Highway 100 today?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I normally take 45 all the way to 43 South, but the freeway was closed off.
Because they're working.
Yeah. So I had all of a sudden, I'm going westbound on 94 to Madison, but I got off on Highway 100 and just took that all the way down. Yeah, and I drove right by that, too, and I was wondering, what the heck is going on here?
Rather strange. So.
Good thing I took the freeway today.
You would think, how would a guy, like, stealing a truck? You got to know how to drive a truck. Now, I can drive a four-speed truck. I've driven. But aren't those things, like, multi-geared?
No. A lot of them have automatics on them.
Really?
No,
so they're easier to drive
now? Not the semis, but, like, a UPS truck, that probably has an automatic.
It was almost a semi-sized UPS truck. Maybe not quite. It was a big truck.
I didn't even take notice.
I looked at the side. Looked like brown. Thought I saw UPS. I could be wrong on that because I was just driving by, and I'm not trying to be a gawker and slow down the southbound lane, even though I was the only vehicle for 5 miles in that lane.
Yeah, but semis, you better know how to shift those things because they got a zillion gears in them that you got to go through.
Plus, how are you going to outrun anybody?
You
know what I mean? If somebody says, hey, Orange Schneider truck was just stolen out of a truck stop, it's heading northbound, you know, at mile marker such and such. It's not going to take too long for a vehicle, police vehicle, to catch them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Kids these days, huh?
You know, that's why I'm a strict believer in my carried conceal and don't let anybody steal your truck.
Mm-hmm. I think it's time for me to invest in a conceal now. Especially now that I live in West
Dallas. You got a couple experts here. We could take you out to the range, WCTC, out there by Waukesha. In fact, I was thinking, I got a 22 Ruger automatic pistol. I was thinking about downsizing and selling a bunch of my stuff. But then I thought, you know, if anybody wants to learn how to shoot a handgun, that's the ideal handgun to teach them how to
start with.
You hold it like this, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, whenever you see somebody holding a semi-automatic, that's what they're using in the movies, and you see them holding it sideways like that, they ain't going to hit anything.
There are some competition shooters, however, that do cant it just a little bit.
Yeah. I saw part of the Olympics with the guys who were skiing and then shooting.
That's called the biathlon.
Yeah, and some of those guys were really good shooting, but some of them were not very good. But it was cool to see them.
I've thought if there were an Olympic sport that I could do, that maybe that would be it. Okay? You know, because I can shoot, so I just got to learn how to ski.
You just got to learn how to ski. That's
easy.
All.
Yeah. I can learn how to ski. I can go to Dunham's on the way home today, pick up some skis.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, go out by Pewaukee Lake, take a few laps around the lake, and I'm off to South Korea.
You may be caught in the skis,
maybe I could
but
be
I
the
think
flag.
Could,
yeah. Maybe I could carry the flag too.
Yeah. Mm. I definitely think you could pull away when you get to the part of the shooting. I think people are going to catch up to you though if you ski. But that's going to be your bread and butter shooting.
My I was a great athlete at Green Bay Preble
here we
back
go.
In the day.
The Green Bay Preble.
I had a lot of that white muscle twitch fiber. I managed to run a 60-yard dash. After that, it was all over once the outdoor season started because I slowed rapidly after 60.
Did you?
I had a parachute on my.
Did you see that poor guy on those downhill snowboards that broke his neck? all they do is go straight downhill, and they got these hills, right? Mm-hmm. And then they come flying over the hills. Then they go down, and it's just fast as who can get to the bottom with going up and down over these hills. And these guys are flying in the air quite a ways. Mm-hmm. Well, this guy loses it. And it lands kind of awkwardly and breaks his neck. I forget what country it was from, but that was not a pretty sight.
And then I heard some Czechoslovakian skier borrowed skis. I heard this on the news coming in.
Yeah.
And borrowed someone's skis and competed in an event she doesn't normally do.
Yeah.
And she won the gold medal.
No kidding.
Lindsey Vonn took sixth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she didn't qualify. Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, yeah. Wow. But do you pay a lot of attention to the Winter Olympics?
No, I don't care anymore.
Olympics?
I'm not watching it at all. I used to be into it big time when I was a kid. It's all over. You know, in fact, the Big Show was talking about why some of these other countries, Netherlands,
Sweden,
some of those are
Norway,
beating
those,
us in the Olympic, in the Winter Olympics. And one thing, they brought up a number of good points. One being climate. Half of our country isn't really in a climate most of the time. Another brought up mountainous regions.
Mm-hmm.
And then Leroy Butler felt that there weren't enough African-Americans involved in the sport. And a number of reasons. But then I thought about it, you know, to be an Olympian, you almost have to be a member of the Lucky Sperm Club. In other words, you got to have a mommy and daddy with a lot of money who are spending lots of money sending you to gymnastics camp every day of the year or whatever the specialty is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like you can just pick up and do that stuff in most in most cases. You got to have, you know, a family, you know, that's entrenched behind you.
Right.
Danica Patrick have ever been a racer if her parents weren't, you know, sending her off to go-kart races at age five? You know, so you almost have to have the rich mom and dad to pay, you know. So is it nature nurture? I think in some cases there's a lot of great race car drivers out there that never did become race car drivers. They just didn't have the nurture.
You know, it's the same thing in
or
fishing.
Anything.
It's the same thing in fishing. There's a lot of guys I know who are excellent anglers, but they don't have the money to go down south and compete. You got to have money to compete or somebody backing you. A lot of the guys that I knew from years ago, they had wives who had really good jobs, so that allowed them to go out and compete. And nowadays, of course, you get sponsors that pay you a lot of money to promote their products, but you got to have time and money. A lot of guys don't have the time, but they got the money. But a lot of guys, you know, don't have the money, but they got the time. You got to have both.
I would say pretty much most, I'm generalizing, but I'm thinking at least the guides I knew, full-time guides, they did have a wife at home with the full-time job in the insurance.
Right.
While daddy could go off and pursue his fun fishing dream.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't just instantly stamp guide on your chest and you're making $50,000 a year and you're totally booked up. You start out with a booking here and there, and then you got to work on word of mouth. Now, it's a lot easier now because guys will get on and they'll self-promote, which I was never good at. I don't like doing it. But they'll get on like Lake Link and some of those things, and they'll post a picture of every Tom, Dick, and bluegill that they catch and become a Lake Link hero. And next thing you know, they'll get a following. And
But will companies give them the cash? You know, right now, you know, I went through this whole thing years ago. I went through the whole thing.
Sponsors.
Well, yeah. And I had quite a few and fishing was how I made my living, whether it was, and it was everything entailed in fishing. It was, you know, the tournaments, the guiding, the writing, the seminars, it was everything, you know?
Right.
And, in order to do it full time, you almost got to do everything, you know, you got to do it all, in order to make a living at it.
Right.
And there are companies out there. They'll give you a hat and a t-shirt. Well, that ain't going to help me, you know, or we'll give you some lures or some tackle. Well, I don't need that. I need cash to keep doing it,
Let me ask you this though, Tom, in all honesty. These companies pay big bucks to sponsor a Bass Pro.
Certain people, yeah.
And you could even apply this to NASCAR. I've never understood I guess it's for exposure, and you say, I'll be fishing this many tournaments, and I'll have this visibility, and I'll be here, there, this, and that. I've never felt compelled to buy anything because I saw it on the side of a goddamn race car or a fishing boat.
That's true.
So how,
but there,
are they, is it a subconscious, subliminal type thing that they're trying to, even though people may not consciously go out and buy it, that they're just trying to get that visual in everybody's head to get their brand out there?
I'll tell you what, let's talk
I
about that.
I still think they're wasting their money.
Yeah. Let's talk about that after this break, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that after this break. You're listening to the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors. You got any questions or comments? 799-1250 is the phone number. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors. We got a whole lot of show going on for you today.
Yeah, and we were talking about, you know, these pros and fishing and even in hunting, you know, a lot, you know, with the hunting TV shows and all that. But one thing, you know, if there's a young man that I know who wants to make a living in fishing. And I said, well, you know, the thing is that not only do you have to be a decent angler, but you have to be a good communicator, and you got to be a good businessman to be able to present, you know, to a prospective sponsor why they should be giving you money to do this. You know what I mean? You got to tell them how many direct advertising impressions, indirect advertising impressions, like you said before, where you're going to go, what you're going to do for them, you know, to increase their sales. But like you said before, just because their name is on something doesn't mean you're going to buy it. You know, I mean, and I feel the same way. But what it is you keep it's like with radio ads or TV ads. You keep seeing the same ads, same ads, same ads. So when you finally do need something,
save big money at Menards.
It's like, okay, I remember that name. I'm going to buy that, or I'm going to go there. I'm going to call that company. But the same thing goes with, like, in the fishing world. You know, this guy is telling you that this is the greatest crankbait or whatever, and he's won this and he's won that, and you constantly see it, constantly see it, constantly see it, and you figure, well, maybe there's something to it, maybe I should just get one or two, you know. And then you got a million people buying one or two you know, and yeah, it's all advertising.
I still think they're spending too much money though for I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
See, they ought to just advertise with us, and me and you will just say, hey, it's really good, get
yeah
it.
Yeah. Well, I know for myself, and I'm sure with you too, you wouldn't tell somebody to use something if you didn't believe in it and use it yourself, right? I mean, you wouldn't say it just because somebody was paying you to say it.
Let me tell you this, Tom. I did learn something from one of my wiliest friends, Steve Milliot, that if you're in a fishing tournament and you come back to the pier, or even not at a fishing tournament, but you're catching a bunch of fish and people know you're getting a bunch of fish, before you go to the pier, you change the baits on your rods and reels.
God.
And give them a little bit of misinformation.
In tournaments, guys were doing that all the time. All the time. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you a quick story.
Tell me a story, Tom.
It's a quick one.
I like a story.
In 1980...
Jazz, make me some hot chocolate.
Do you want some story music? You want me to find some story music?
No, I don't want any story music.
Are you sure you don't want story music?
No. Get hot chocolate so I can listen to Tom's story.
Yeah, you want some? Let me go get some hot chocolate.
No, I don't want any story music. I know this is a while back, but in 1986, there was a very prestigious bass tournament called the Balsam Lake Pro Bass Invitational. You're coming in the top 10 there was like winning a tournament down here.
Prestigious or prestigious?
It can go either way.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Anyway, I was fishing. It was a team tournament, and I had stopped fishing tournaments for several years, you know, and I didn't want to go, but this buddy of mine, he was fishing it, and his buddy, which was a friend of mine too, he bailed out. He couldn't go, so he asked me, please, you got to go with me, you know. I said, all right. So we go up there, make a long story short, we won it. Now, what did we win it on? We were using – there was a big tornado that night, okay? Huge tornado. They got us up out of the motel rooms at like 4 in the morning. Now, the tournament was supposed to start at 6. They got us at 3, 4 in the morning. We all had to go into some basement of some church or something, you know, because of these tornadoes going through. So when we did get out for the tournament, it's like, holy crap, what happened here? There's trees in the water. There's piers flipped up. There's boats on shore.
What the hell's going on out here?
That's what we thought at the time. So now my friend, he says to me, and by the way, at this tournament, if every tournament that I ever fished up there, and Balsam Lake is way up in northwestern Wisconsin.
Yep.
Every tournament I ever fished, I always cast a check, okay?
You cast a what?
Cashed a check.
Cashed a check.
I heard cast.
Oh, okay.
As in, like,
I always cashed a check.
He's using the checker. Yes.
So anyway, so my buddy says, oh, big tornado overnight, big pressure drop, blah, 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 big wind.
Let's
we got to
go
fish.
With us.
We got to fish deep water, or we got to fish in the middle of the weeds, down with a jigging pig, or with crankbaits down deep, you know.
And well, contrary, Tom said.
And I said, no freaking way.
No
I said,
way.
Those bass are going to be in the same spots they were yesterday. They're going to be under these docks. I'm going to catch them with Kelly worms. And by 10 in the morning, we had a limit.
With the Kelly worms.
With the Kelly worms under the docks.
But what did you do when you went to the... What was your misinformation? This is where this whole subject started.
No, I'm getting to it.
Right,
so we caught them all on Kelly worms under the docks. And we went... Well, lucky enough, you know, we came in and we had enough weight that we won, right? Okay, we won. So now there's a television camera crew there. And they got the camera on us. And the guy with the microphone says, what'd you guys catch your fish on? My buddy Dave says, I'll handle this. He says, we caught them on crankbaits on deep weed lines and jigging pigs in the weeds. And I looked at him like, see, I was never one to be that way. I would always tell people.
Well, the tournament's over.
Yeah.
And a year from now.
It doesn't
matter on the same lake. It might not work.
Exactly.
And you're going to another lake next week.
Yeah, so I look at him kind of funny, and he goes on. So then he writes a story for Midwest Outdoors. He writes a story. There's a picture of us holding our beautiful silver trophies
and all that.
Said
the crankbaits.
Oh, yeah, I did the whole thing about
that.
That's
the sad thing. And you can't believe even the...
Yeah, and like I said, I was one who, you know, I would just tell guys.
Why they called you Truthful Tom.
Yeah, I would just tell. I didn't care if they knew. Like you said, tournament's over, dude. You know, it's over. I mean, it was just one of those things that, you know.
You want to know one of the most brilliant ways to get information? This happened incidentally, but years ago, Steve Milliot had his garage broken into twice where they stole the motor off the back, his kicker motor. Mm-hmm. And he was working in his basement. He'd be up painting till 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. He'd be like 40 yards away when it happened.
Oh, wow.
Because his garage was right there, right? Mm-hmm. I said, why don't you get a baby monitor and put it in the garage and you'll hear any noise? And he goes, that's a really good idea. So he took it a step further. He was up fishing Vermilion and he didn't want people messing with his boat down by the pier. So he left the baby monitor in his boat on Vermilion. And he's actually up in his cabin and he hears these guys come in talking on the pier. And they are talking about how they're getting a bunch of big muskies on black and silver bucktails. And Steve had been sucking wind for a couple of days, but because he heard the baby monitor information, FBI bugged, he went out and started hammering. He got pulled out every one of his, in fact, he had one of Eric Vondervelden's original G-Train, black and silver giant G-Train bucktails, and he started getting monster muskies on that, chasing it, and So the baby monitor.
That would be a good idea. You know, the one thing, I never cared about what guys were using. My one question that I had, if I could get this information out of them, I didn't care what they were using. I just want to know how deep they were fishing. That's what I wanted to know, how deep they were fishing.
Because once you knew the depth.
Now I knew what
Tom Neubauer would
key in on.
I
knew what to key in on then, if I knew the depth. But to tell you the truth, I really didn't care what the other guys were doing. I was going to do what I was going to do because I was going to find fish and I was going to catch them, period. I was very confident.
That's good. You got to have that confidence,
Yeah, I was
Tom.
Confident. So I didn't care what those other but you know what? I would love to know where those guys are getting those big smallies in those tournaments in May where they come in with 30 pounds of six, you know, averaging 5 pound smallies on Pewaukee? I would love to know that.
See, I thought the guy told me that he was off those condos in about 16 feet of water.
I've heard a couple of stories, and I've caught smallies there too. In that,
those
deep,
were some.
Oh, but those were all big.
And I mean, saw guys going out. The same guys were out getting gargantuan ones when mm-hmm. I was working at Smokey's. They'd come back, show me a picture of another 6 pounder. I'm thinking, Tom, that maybe if I start spending some time doing some deep water fishing, maybe drop shotting, maybe yeah. working some deep water plastics, and take a break from the muskies and just mm-hmm. go out on my days off to try yeah. for walleyes slash smallmouth,
mm-hmm.
I could probably stumble my way
I'm
into
sure
a big
could.
Walleye or smallie out
I'm
there.
Sure, I'm sure we could.
Question
sure we
from could. The producer. When yeah. you say deep water, what does that classify as?
Anything on the outside edge of the deep weed line. Weed lines are usually in Pewaukee about 12 feet.
Okay, yeah, so you can do deep water fishing
so
in a lake.
Let's say 12
say
to 30 feet.
Okay.
15
roughly.
To 30 feet.
Because when, yeah. when you said deep yeah. water, I think of deep sea fishing, and I'm
no,
doing that
no, no,
in San
no.
Diego in May, and I can't
no,
wait for
no,
that.
No, no, no. Yeah. Deep water here is anything
it's
above.
All relative.
Anything above the thermocline.
Okay, gotcha.
So, like, if you go to a wading pool, deep water's 4 feet because it's a wading pool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah. Relative.
Well, let's go to a quick break now, and we'll be back with the gut report. And then after the 6:45 break, we've got the Hornswoggle.
That's right, Mr. Douglas.
Brought to you by Bucky's Fine Meats and Sausages in McGuanago. We'll be right back with more, so stay tuned.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
Excuse me, the Gut Report is brought to you by V-March Easy Produce and Discount Liquor. Well, this recipe comes from Mad Dog and Merrill, our friends that we see at the sports show every year, of course, and they're on TV. But this is a sweet and sour sauce that Merrill says is awesome on turkey and chicken breast. He said it's fantastic. 1 small can of mandarin oranges, 1/4 cup of brown sugar, 2 tablespoons mustard, and 2 tablespoons of honey. Mix that all together, and in the last 15 to 20 minutes of grilling or baking in your oven, start, putting this on. Start, basting the chicken or turkey breast with that. They said it's fantastic, and I promise you I will go home and try it next time we're having chicken. So that is the Gut Report for this week. The Gut Report was brought to you by V-March Easy Produce. When quality counts, you can count on V-March Easy Produce. Insist on the best. You can visit them at vmarcheesy.com. And by Discount Liquor, where you'll find the best price, selection, and service at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and 919 North Barstow. That's Main Street in Barstow in Waukesha. For weekly specials, go to discountliquorinc.com.
Come here, I'm gonna eat you! I'm bigger than you, I'm higher in the food chain! Get in my belly!
Alright, what were we talking about before? Do you remember?
I have no idea, Tom.
Oh, come on, you gotta remember. It was something good,
I don't know. We're talking about.
You guys aren't that old.
It was something good.
Yeah, we're old guys.
Yeah, we're old guys.
You know, we can forget. You know, like all of a sudden, an old guy's talking about something, then he stops, and then he doesn't even know.
What the hell was I talking
huh?
about?
Huh? That's an old guy thing. Huh?
So
I do that pretty good. Huh?
What the hell are we talking about?
I don't know.
That's terrible. We were just talking about.
If you are listening to us.
You were talking about.
On the fan. Give us a call at 414-799-1250. And let us give and give these two guys a reminder.
I learned something this week,
what we're
Tom,
talking
so
about.
I'm going to introduce a subject here. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yes, please do.
Can I introduce the subject?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Can we finally have a subject here? So anyway, I've got an old Jiffy Auger. Do you have any old Jiffy Augers, Tom?
Not anymore.
No, but you used to, right?
Yep.
How big was yours? Was it like 8-inch or?
I used the 2-horse, was it an
6
8
or 8?
No, it was a 7 or 8. I think it was an 8. Yeah,
so was
eight.
It like an 80s, 90s? What year? Did
from
you
the
have?
90s.
Okay.
From the 90s.
Okay, from the 90s. Okay, so because speaking of advertising, right, nothing runs like a Jiffy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yep.
So I got a Christmas present back in about 94 after I'd, wrecked 3 rotator cuffs, even though I only have 2. It was so bad I wrecked 3 of them. From using those hand augers, they bought me a 10-inch Jiffy,
mm-hmm.
3-horse auger. Now, probably about 94, 95. Can't remember exact. So I had it out. Over the years, I've only changed plugs probably twice on the thing.
Right.
All I've ever done is change. I got some, I'd sharpen blades, or now I got those chipper blades, and the thing just runs.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never even bother new gas, old gas, whatever. Well, it's starting to really kind of bog down on me last week. So I called Dale, who, you know Dale.
Yeah, Dale the mechanic.
Dale the mechanic. He's fishing. In fact, we ought to try giving him a call, because when I called him, he was on Lake Erie.
Oh, wow.
Catching walleyes. Oh. And I asked him if we could get a report, and he got back to me and he said, probably, which means during break I'll try calling him and he won't answer because he'll be sleeping and we won't get the report. But that's beside the point. So he said, just order a new carburetor. He said, you know what? He said, just order a new carburetor and be done with it. But then I did some research online to find out, to order a carburetor, you got to know which one to order, right?
Well, of course. That's a good idea.
So I go to Jiffy's website thinking they'd have all those parts. Well, mine's so old, they don't have
They don't have those anymore.
Listed.
Yeah.
So then I did a little bit of research. I did a lot of research. I was online, and thank God for the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Because how would you find this stuff out?
Yeah.
So I went out. I looked at this. I had to find out what kind of engine. Well, it's a Tecumseh.
Right.
Engine. It's the AV520. You know, I felt like an idiot. I spent 20 minutes looking for the numbers, and they're right on the side. So it's AV520. Got the number, all a bunch of other numbers. Finally found an Arkansas lawnmower distributor that had that carburetor.
Yeah.
Although I did find on eBay. I was amazed. There are some on eBay, but you got to have that PayPal thing. I was going to ask you to if I needed to do it. But anyway, ordered it. But in the research, I read some posts by guys who had the old augers, said they always ran great, but there's something where they get them running even better now. Apparently, Tecumseh changed their recommendations. It used to be 2-cycle oil, 24-to-1 mix. Since that time, Tecumseh themselves, with the new synthetic blend oils, recommends a synthetic blend at 40-to-1.
Okay.
And with that new synthetic blend, instead of the Champion spark plug, which was a JR, whatever, 17, whatever, spark plug, you go with an Autolite 255. It's a hotter burning, and it doesn't have, I guess, the Champion have, like, maybe you know about this, resistor or something that prevents it from interfering with electronics.
I know nothing about spark plugs.
You don't know
plugs.
Anything about that?
Because
apparently
spark
some spark plugs have some type of resistor, which I guess, I don't know what electronic equipment that they would mess with, but apparently the Autolite 255 does not have that, therefore it's going to be faster burning. And so I thought, well, do I go with that, and or do I just go with what Jiffy recommended when I bought the auger, because it ran pretty good? Well, I figured, you know what, I'm going to go out and see, because I heard Jiffy themselves are making a special 2-cycle oil. Well, I went out to the Fleet Farm up in West Bend, and they've actually got, it's called the Jiffy Tune-Up Kit, where they've got, it's marketed under Jiffy Synthetic 2-cycle oil with a with some kind of additive, I don't know what you call it, fuel cleaner or whatever, and a spark plug, right, one of those spark plugs that I talked about, right in the package.
Oh, okay.
And it's designed specifically. So I got back last night, drained the old gas out, put the new 40-to-1 mix in, put that new spark plug in, and I didn't fire it up yet because I got too cold. So I'm hoping that'll work today. I got cold and put it away, and I thought, I'm crossing my fingers. But yeah, if you got the old Tecumseh motors, Jiffy actually has a specific oil, and you're supposed to change plugs now. The Autolite 255, I believe. You can go online
See
it. And I guess it really gets them running good. So we'll see.
Yeah, when I had my Jiffy, I take it back. I had a Jiffy at the time, in mid-90s. And, but I traded a Jiffy auger when I had my store. I traded it for a really nice hollow body guitar. I knew a guy who had a music shop, so we did a trade. He needed an auger. I needed a new guitar, so we did a trade. You know?
Do you still have the guitar?
Oh, yeah. Still got that one. Yeah,
still
nice
use
one.
It?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'd have kept the auger.
Yeah. Well, I had an auger at the time.
Jiffy is selling that oil It's 3.2 ounces, and it's designed to mix. So it's at the 40-to-1 mixture. It's designed to mix with 1 gallon of gas.
There you go.
And actually, they had the kit. Now, I paid probably $10 for more for the spark plug than what I needed to, because it was like $12.99 for the kit. Mm-hmm. They sell the oil alone for $2.99, which is pretty good, the Jiffy oil. And then I know a spark plug you could probably buy for a couple of bucks, but I just bought it together.
But it depends. Some special spark plugs might cost more, you know. So
I hope it. You know, maybe I don't need that. I'm hoping I don't need that new carburetor that I ordered.
Yeah, maybe not. And that's good information, because I know a lot of guys out there, a lot of men and women, you know, have older Jiffy augers, because they do last a long time.
And if you have the Tecumseh, I would have called it Tecumseh, but I guess it's Tecumseh motor. I got the three horse. Mm-hmm. And if you go online and do the information, it tells, you know, you get the information. But I was a little hesitant to go away from what my original Jiffy, you know, it said 24-to-1, two cycle, blah, and this Champion plug. But then you go out and there's the, I was thinking of going to buy the plug at an auto parts store and try it myself.
And here it all was.
It all was in the package. And I'm like, it says Jiffy tune-up kit, fuel stabilizer. Well, so it's two synthetic blend, two cycle oil with a fuel stabilizer, and it says Jiffy tune-up kit for Tecumseh engines.
And, you know, over the years, they're always coming out with new technology, new things.
Isn't that something that the manufacturer of the engine actually changed their recommendations for their engine?
Sure.
So you know it must run better if they're going to make those recommendations.
Yeah, it must.
We'll find out.
Okay, folks, it is now time for the Hornswoggle. Be a contestant and win a $10 gift certificate to Bucky's Fine Meats and Sausages in Muguanago. All you got to do is call 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Bushy's going to make three statements. You got to guess whether or not he's telling you a Hornswoggle, which is BS, or a no Hornswoggle, which means he's telling you the truth. Call right now and be a winner of that wonderful gift certificate to Bucky's Fine Meats
wonderful.
And Sausage. Yeah. We'll be right
back
with more
wonderful.
On 105.7 FM, The Fan.
What is that?
Tell your story about a woman I know. I come loving. Steal the show.
Who is this?
Just let it.
Come on.
Just let it.
Oh my God, where are you, bud?
You can say she got it.
The greatest rock band in the world, Tom. AC/DC.
Right. I don't know, for some reason.
I regret not going to see their concert when they came to Milwaukee years back, man. It would have been
Welcome back to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Yeah, das ist richtig. Yeah. And we have a lucky contestant for the Hornswoggle segment there, Jeff.
Yes, we've got Tom. He's over out in Caledonia. Tom, what is going on? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Tom.
Okay, so you know how this works? If I'm pulling your leg, it's a Hornswoggle. If it's not, it's no Hornswoggle.
Sounds good.
Here we go. Pickerel, which I guess there are a few pickerel in southern Wisconsin, according to my fishing historian over sitting to my right here. Pickerel are easily mistaken for small, dinky northern pike. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
No Hornswoggle.
No Hornswoggle. Good. Augers. We were talking augers a little bit ago, and we were talking specifically the world's greatest augers, Jiffy Ice Augers, and believe it or not, Jiffy Popcorn once sued Jiffy Augers because of use of the name. Therefore, Jiffy changed the spelling from two F's to one. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
Oh, man. 50-50. No Hornswoggle.
Oh, that was a Hornswoggle.
It almost sounded believable, Tom.
It did.
Or old Orville Redenbacher, he got pissed when they pulled out Jiffy. Jiffy Auger, God bless it, that's my popcorn.
So, all right, you can still win, Tom.
Okay, but here we go. Back on the auger, Sup. Put your thinking cap on carefully here. Back to the Jiffy Auger thing. If you were in China using a Jiffy Auger, the blade would spin backwards due to the Earth's rotation. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
Right.
Hornswoggle. Now, if you take a bath, the water will drain backwards due to the Earth's rotation. So hold on. We'll get your information.
He's covered. Tom, he's you're covered. All set. Right. Hey, we're on top of it. It's good to be back from vacation. I'm on top of things.
All right, Tom.
Certificate to Bucky's.
Yeah, I'll mail that out on Monday, Tom.
All right.
Thanks for the easy question.
All right. No problem, Tom.
Take care, Tom.
Right. The Hornswoggle was brought to you by Bucky's Fine Meats and Sausages in Maguanago. They got everything, meats and seafood and rubs and this and that and cheese. All right, they got all kind. And what's really nice is they got the free samples there, so you can try the stuff before you get it.
I like the stuff with the cheese.
Yeah, there is a lot of good stuff out there at Bucky's. So you might want to give them a shot.
Nutritious.
Yeah, and they're real easy to find. They're right off 43 and 83. 43 South and Highway 83. You just get off to the right there, and you make a left at the first stoplight.
By a gas station.
Yeah, I think it's a Quick Trip or something like Citco or Quick Trip, something like that. And you make a left,
Shell,
and there's a little shopping center right there, and you can't miss them. Yeah, can't miss them. They're there.
Remember the Sinclair stations with the dinosaur outside? Mm-hmm.
Oh, the big dinosaur. Yeah,
there's still a big dinosaur in Green Bay.
Is there?
Yeah, close to the stadium.
You know what I found out? Here's a question for you, Danny.
Okay.
Milwaukee's Museum. It's been there forever. You've been to the museum, like probably when you were a kid, the school went down. Oh, no, you were up in Green Bay.
We went to the Broncos. Yeah. I went to the Chicago Museum with a YMCA bus trip as a kid.
Okay, well, at the Milwaukee Museum, they have the largest what in the world at the Milwaukee Museum? The largest what?
The largest. The largest dinosaur skeleton.
You're right. You are
Come
correct.
On, give me a hard question, Tom.
That is correct.
Why do you got to keep the simple? So well, what would they have? The largest
I don't
squirrel?
Know.
I mean,
the largest exhibit
largest
of butterflies or
Bubba?
Something? I don't know.
I mean, what would they have that's the largest? Yeah.
Yeah.
You made it way too easy for me, Tom.
The reason
Let's throw some tough questions this way.
They asked
lobbing softballs.
One of the new guys for the Brewers that the Brewers just got, I forget which one it was. It was one of the outfielders that they got.
What's his name?
Yeah, one of the two.
What's his face?
And they were asking him questions about to see if he knew anything about Milwaukee because he's from California.
He said Statue of the Fonz.
And no, and they he didn't know that one. But this is the question that he should have known that he didn't know.
Miller Beer.
No, they asked him, what lake is Milwaukee next to? What lake? No, they take it back. They said, what great lake is Milwaukee next to? He says, is Erie a great lake?
Now, here's the thing.
Now, you would come on.
How many kids? I would bet you that you could ask 90% of high school students today, if you asked them to name the five great lakes, could not do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that.
I'm at an IB high school, and I would be willing to bet that I could ask those students.
I believe
they're teaching them all kinds of other world stuff, but they know nothing about.
Kids don't know.
Probably don't know that our state animal's the badger. Yeah.
They don't know geography.
The greatest fire in history was the Peshtigo fire, the robin. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Give me a hard question there, buddy. Yeah. No more lobbing softballs.
You know what? Here's an idea.
State animal.
I don't mean to get ahead of ourselves.
White-tailed deer.
When we do the next hour of the show where we do the NFL picks, introduced a trivia segment.
Trivia segment?
Ask four questions. Where you get remember we did four picks, you get four questions. One music, one movies, one sports, and one U.S. history.
So, well, I'll tell you what. You find a sponsor for that, and we'll do that.
Done.
I will find a sponsor for that.
Actually, I got a better idea. Years ago, a buddy of mine used to play this bar game where we'd sit at the bar and have soda pops, and one guy would say a line from a movie.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other guy would have to guess
the movie.
I think we got to have a segment titled, What's My Line?
What's My Movie?
Well, that's why we call it What's My Line, but it'd be What's My Movie.
That's a good one.
Or whatever. And and people would love that because we used to go for hours with that.
Sure.
And the guy would say the line, you'd be like, oh, I know that. Yeah. Classic lines. Yeah.
Five Great Lakes, by the way. Erie.
Yeah.
Superior.
Yeah.
Michigan.
Yeah. Oh, you're looking at it.
Huron and Ontario. No, I'm not.
Yes, you
are.
I saw you looking at it.
No, I'm not.
Boy didn't know it.
No, I'm not.
Oh, my God.
I was looking.
You are a lovely like the rest of them.
Jazz, I can see your computer from here.
I didn't. I had four of the five. I forgot the last one was Ontario. Ontario, though, that's okay.
Ontario would be the only one I'd take a second, but you know, that's, the others right away. Yeah. Superior, Michigan, Erie come to your mind right away.
Yeah, right away.
And then Huron, Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I would bet that most high school kids today couldn't get three out of the five.
I would, I'd bet that.
Would you concur?
I believe that, yeah. Because like I said, kids nowadays, they don't know geography. They don't know history. You know, they don't, there's a lot of things that, they don't even teach cursive writing. That's why kids nowadays don't have a signature. They print their last name. Like if they're doing a.
Sign it. You can't print.
No, we get kids who print.
Really?
Because they don't know cursive.
If that's your normal signature, they let you do it.
They don't know cursive.
That's bad.
Yeah, they don't know it. They don't, because it's not taught anymore. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? But anyway, right now, we have to do this. It is now Jazz Jaskolski with your sports update. Take it away, Jazz.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.